question, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
Is this standard submitted to staff in accordance with the procedure?
2695, proponent is Paul Shepard.
Was not. So we can't even consider it.
Mr. Chair, this standard was approved by the IPC committee in Orlando in October, and pending the final action hearing, which it will likely pass in May, it will become part of the 09 IPC, this standard will. I don't think there's any great rush or any great need at this time to incorporate it in our state code, because it deals with hex aluminum hex, and I'm not sure whether or not there's anybody out there even doing that.
All right, very good. Do we have Mr. Greiner?
Dale Greiner, Lake County, speaking in opposition to the mod. I believe if you read through the mod, it indicates that it's in the 2006 I code. And if it's there, then it's not a problem. So there's no reason for us to deal with it here.
Well, can I? It's not there yet. It's not in the 06.
It was a statement that he made there.
Okay, yeah, he's incorrect. It was not added. It's not in the 06. It was approved by the committee to be added in the 09 code.
Okay, then I agree with what you had to say. I don't think there's any reason to rush into this.
Yeah, it didn't make the 06, no.
Thank you. Do we have a second on 2695? Do we have a second on 2695? 2695 fails for lack of a second. 2330. Do we have a proponent, please?
Same question to staff, Mr. Chairman. Is that standard submitted in accordance with the procedure?
2330?
Yes.
Yes, correct.
It's exactly the same issue.
It's, if I may, it's a little different on this one. This one is in the 06 code.
Yeah,
and once we adopt this 06, it will be there. What this gentleman is trying to do is perhaps expedite it. I'm not sure he's going to, because any way you look at it, it's kind of a moot point. It will be in our next code. It deals with the polycellphone PEX fittings that are in use throughout the state. But there again, it gets back to the alternate materials issue, because it's not, quote, really in the code yet. And it won't be until next year.
At this point, it's just redundant, more clutter.
Okay. Yeah, it's there.
Was it submitted?
Yes, it was submitted to the staff. However, it has to be submitted for the public, have it 45 days. So, you know, you all should have a copy of it. Just like, for instance, Jennifer Hatfield for the pool. You all got copies of that, right? That's standard.
I never got this one.
No, I'm talking about, I'll just give you an example. You didn't get this one here, and you don't have it in front of you.
2330. We have no proponent. Do we have a second to 2330?
Before we rush into it, Mr. Chairman, I'm just trying to get it clear in my mind. You said that they submitted it, though, to the state.
Yes.
Was it part of our supporting documentation on the internet, or is their responsibility to give to us?
And the public.
It was on the internet. That's what I proposed modification.
It don't matter if it's going to be in 2000.
Jim, if I could interject, if they submitted it to the state,
to 2006,
it doesn't make any difference. Whether we approve or disapprove it,
it's
still in there.
It's
still there.
So you're saying it's in this book here already.
All right. We have a motion and a second open for TAC discussion.
It's moot. It's really moot. Whether or not we act on it or not, it will be in the next code, because it's in the 2006 IPC. This one is different than the last one. The last one's not in the IPC yet. This one's there.
Gary, is this exactly the same language that they adopted?
All they did is they added that standard. And that standard, if you look in your 06, you'll see
what's the harm in making sure that we approve it?
No.
It just allows them to use a fitting earlier.
It's just, it just doesn't.
How does it do that?
Well, it's allowed to use now as an engineered solution. Doesn't it become part of the code if we adopt it? a little ahead of time, ahead of the normal code cycle?
I don't think it's going to make any difference to the manufacturer as far as selling this product, because it's still not going to be in the code until next year. Yeah.
Then it's moot.
Well, Mr. Chairman, in principle, if the guy does everything he's supposed to, if the code change has merit, whether it's in the existing code or not, I think we should give it consideration. And again, if it's redundant, it's redundant. Nobody has to do anything if it's redundant. But for some reason, if it didn't get in there or whatever, that's what I'm a little concerned about. I haven't done the homework to know that it got there.
Legal opinion, please.
Just real quick. If it's in the I codes, there's no Florida-specific need to put it in the Florida code, so the motion should fail as a matter of legality.
Because it's in the I code.
Because there is no Florida-specific need to amend because it's in the I code.
Sorry.
Right.
Right.
That I
understand. Thank you.
Moot point.
Withdraw my second.
All right. 2330 is withdrawn for lack of fails for lack of second.
Good, because it don't need to be Florida Pacific.
Moving on to 2676. 2676. Do we have a proponent on 2676?
Good afternoon. My name is Randy Shackelford. Is this working? Randy Shackelford with Simpson Strong Tie. The goal of this is simply to change the thickness of the pipe protection product that has to be put on wood framing when the piping is too close to the edge of the framing to a thickness of steel that manufacturers actually produce. This has been in the code forever as 1/16 of an inch, and then it was changed over to 0.162 because steel manufacturers no longer really sell. You can't buy cold rolled steel that manufacturers make this out of in either 1/16 of an inch or even gauge. You know, the common conversion was 1/16 of an inch was about equal to 16 gauge. Well, we can't even order 16 gauge anymore. We have to order it by the decimal thickness. And so if you order you can't really order 0.062 because it falls in between what was the old 16 gauge and the old 14 gauge. So we'd have to order either something higher, 0.068 or something like that, if you wanted to get 0.062. And so we just changed this to what is now 0.054. There are references in the code that I included in my reason statement that show 0.054 is now considered to be the equivalent of 16 gauge. I brought this same change forward, and I will tell you I brought the same change forward to the ICC this year, and also to the plumbing code, mechanical code, and all those, and it was denied. So if you want to deny it, I'd at least ask for a second, because there is a possibility that we may be trying to do some type of research. They said, oh, this is, you know, afraid that we, you know, changing it 0.08 of an inch might be weakening the the protection that's offered. So we may try to do some research, but I'll tell you what you're seeing in the field right now is probably 0.054, because this is what manufacturers are supplying.
Now, with your code modification, will you pay for all of our nail holes and screw holes?
Can't do that.
The answer is no, right?
Yes, sir. The answer is no.
All right. Are there any other proponents, please?
Dale Griner, Lake County. What a novel idea. Actually have something in the code that can be actually made.
Thank you for your comments. Do we have any other proponents? Do we have any opponents? Do we have a second?
I'll second.
We have a second. Open for TAC discussion.
Question, proponent.
Yeah, I have a question.
Yes, sir.
Kevin?
Oh, okay, I have a question. It's not just the thickness of the steel. Isn't there a high tensile or the softness of the steel? All the steel is not exactly the same, right?
That is true. Steel is not steel. There's no requirement for tensile strength in the code, I'll tell you.
Well, maybe they disallow the requirement for tensile strength in the code by making it that thickness. And now you're going to lower that thickness and go back to something that doesn't have to be a high tensile. That's what my concern is.
I can tell you what we do is what's in there now is 1/16, which would be hot rolled steel, which is really, you know, recycled DWs, for all I know. You know, we use the and I have the other main manufacturer, United Steel Products, is also here. And if you go to a cold-rolled steel, you do get more of a quality. There's actually more of a quality steel that comes in that. It's probably a higher, it would probably be a higher strength steel. But there's no guarantee because there is no minimum in the code. You're right.
Right, Gary and then Joe.
My question is, what was your justification on lowering the limit by
1/1000ths of an inch, right?
What was your justification to lower the limit by 1/8000ths instead of increase it by 4?
The code is a minimum, and so I did want to increase the requirement because there's always a concern with increasing the cost. And honestly, you know, if we tried to increase thicknesses, it'd be seen as self-serving. I didn't want that to happen.
Good answer, Jillian.
Yes, this didn't make it into 2006 ICC. It is not Florida specific.
And I hopefully brought that to your attention. That's true.
This is a minimum. It's not that you have to buy 0.062. It's a minimum. And so you go the next size thicker if it's available. So you've admitted that it is available at the higher thickness, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. And it's a cold wall steel.
Yeah.
Gary?
When the I codes took effect, our stud guards got thicker. They went from what we used to term as 18 gauge to 16 gauge. Now, yeah, if you take your calipers out, I think you're going to find that it's not quite exactly what we're all using out there. It's not exactly 0.062, but it's pretty, pretty darn close, and it's the only thing that's out there. I downloaded something on the internet that said that the 16 gauge was 0.0598, which is closer than what you said there. I don't know. I don't think that we need to get into something that's different than what we have in the I codes, especially because there's not a companion change for the residential. So now we would be creating a conflict between the plumbing and the residential if we adopt.
If I might, this is for the residential code. This is the plumbing section of the residential code. It's not for the Florida plumbing codes. You're correct on that. It's not complete.
I take that back. Okay. Then we'd still be creating a conflict because it wouldn't be in the plumbing code.
So then it's in a residential, not in plumbing code.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's it. All right. Do we have any other TAC discussion on this issue?
I just want to add that I think this is one of those classic examples where the code, for whatever reason, has not kept up with practice. And I don't remember the reasons at ICC. Could you help me with their reasoning statement, maybe?
It was, as one of you gentlemen mentioned, they just said we haven't shown any proof that it's no less penetrable by the nail or the screw. I mean, the goal is to keep the sheetrocker from penetrating and going into the piping, and so it's a judgment. If you do vote this down, what we may end up doing is never mind. I'm sorry.
The problem is that this whole thing is it don't matter how thick it is. I can put a screw through that thing so quick in a heartbeat, and a nail too. It has to be hardened steel. If you really want to protect it, it's not the thickness; it's the hardness. That steel has to be harder than the screw you're putting in. And these new screws are pretty hard, and they'll go right through a piece of
easy.
And so the only way you're going to really protect it from screws and nails is to go with a hardened steel, and then the thickness is really not an issue. It's a hardness. And this whole thing is written wrong, but I don't see a reason why we should change it from the international standard.
Any other discussion?
Just for discussion, what if you changed it to cold rolled steel or added that into the thing, would that provide the hardness that's required to deflect the screw?
I guess our point is cold rolled steel is really not available in that 0.062. Like you said, you'd have to go to the thicker.
I mean, put something that is available.
Mm-hmm.
What you need to do is run your pipes where the screws ain't.
But you guys never do that.
You'd be surprised how good you can get
it.
It really works well,
isn't it? Yes. All right, gentlemen. We are mod 2676. I'd like to see a show of hands, please. All those in favor of the mod, please raise your hand. All opposed? Failed, 11-0.
I appreciate your input.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Shockford. 2640, do we have a proponent, please?
With a hardness, that would be great.
2640, I need a proponent, if you have one. Water heaters.
What's so specific about floating?
Do we have a second? Do we have a second for 2640? Motion fails for no second, lack of second. 2342. Do we have a proponent, please?
2342.
What?
2-3.
Where's he at?
Where are you at?
I'm at 2342.
That's me.
Okay. Okay.
Previously, I will throw that.
Thank you. Thank you, Ken. 2340. 2340. Do we have a proponent?
That's me as well. When I proposed this if you look at the ANSI 5 standard in its current reading right now, you can build a swimming pool with one main drain, one skimmer, and one return up to 300 square foot. And under the new ANSI 7 standard, one of the ways to achieve entrapment safety is to eliminate the submerged suction outlets. This leaves you with a pool of 300 square foot with one skimmer, or with no skimmer, or one skimmer, excuse me, and one return. Most contractors and across the state feel that this is not the correct way to build a pool. With that being said, and with the assurance from the national organization, APSP, and Florida Swimming Pool, that they will diligently pursue the changing of the ANSI 5 standard to provide a circulation standard to take this in, with that assurance, I withdraw this.
Thank you. Thank you for the very responsible position. 2344.
Same thing.
2345.
One withdrawn.
Thank you. Appreciate that. That dialogue is very good. 2343. 2343. Do we have a proponent?
That's me again. For the same things that I so stated, providing a circulation standard is critical. They agreed to do that.
And 2341, please.
Also.
Thank you very much. I have to tell you, I've only been in the commission for a couple of years. I'm absolutely extremely impressed with the cooperation of the pool industry. You people have really come together nicely. I'm really impressed with the efforts. Thank you very, very much.
And that's it.
Let's move over to, we have two more items to cover and we're done. Yes, 2718. 2718. The proponent, please. And I need to pick up where we left off.
Jennifer Hatfield with the Florida Swimming Pool Association again, and also Don Cesarone, our Builders Council Chairman for the Florida Swimming Pool Association. And do you want me to kind of pick up where we were talking last?
Well, we've been to a lot of different places. Jennifer, let's try to recap and see where we are.
Okay.
It seems to me that we had a motion on the floor and a second, and an amendment on the floor and a second.
We talked during your break, and we did have a further suggestion, if you if the committee would like to hear it.
We would.
Yes.
We were, after further talking to my members and some of the other officials in the room, we thought it would clarify if you change safety to barrier code, because it's actually a barrier code inspection. So I don't know if that would, if you wanted to take the original language we used or the language that Mr. Greiner, excuse me, suggested. I'm sorry, it's a long day, guys. I mean, either one is fine with us, but we would change safety to barrier code. So that would be our suggestion.
Dale Greiner, Lake County. From a code official's standpoint, I would agree with changing safety to barrier, and I would be, not that there's any pride in authorship, but I would be more comfortable with the language that I used.
We're okay with that so far. Are there any other comments coming from the proponents at this point? Then let's make sure, Dale, let's make sure that we've got this language. First off, the language has to come from the TAC committee, just so you all know, but at least help us get there. Let's form consensus on how we're going to get there.
The way the language is, the way that I'm proposing the language should be, is all swimming pool installations must be completed, period. Pool, yes, that will indicate that, yeah, we have to have a completed pool.
I guess so.
You know, so that gives the code official the ability to ask for any other inspections he wants, which he can do anyway. The second should read, the pool shall not be completely filled with water or in operation before the final electrical and barrier code inspection. Barrier code.
Barrier code.
Yeah.
That's fine. That way, we're in a situation. I'm more comfortable with that because now I get a pool that when I inspect, I do a final electrical inspection, I'm assured that it's not a filled pool with kids in it. You know, and it's up to the contractor, but he has to have a hydrostatic valve or something like that in there to make sure that pool doesn't flow. That's his problem. That's not my problem. He's a contractor. All right, so I'm making sure that I'm not getting anything filled in there before I get an electrical final. I'm making sure the barriers are in place. I do those two finals. They can fill the pool. They got to call me back to do a plumbing final and any other final that the building official wants to see. That's my take.
All right. Jennifer, does that...
What?
Just may I make an observation? Does complete include plaster?
Of course.
Okay, then you have to immediately fill it with water. I think that's a bit of a...
Right, that's a sticking point.
That was... We were just...
If we can...
It just means that that's an overall statement. First statement is an overall statement that the pool has to be completed one way or another. We're telling you, underneath that, we're clarifying that you must have these inspections first before you can fill the pool, which means you get a plaster to fill it.
No, what they're saying, Dale, is you can't. Once you put the plaster in, you got to fill it. What I think we need to say, though, is we need to say must be completed except for final plaster.
Yes.
Interior finish.
No, that doesn't. No, you guys, no. I think we're missing the point. Sure. Okay. We might be talking about the same thing, but
okay.
The bottom line on the first day is the pool has to be completed.
You can't plaster it with water.
Wait.
All right, gentlemen, we got to take this one at a time. We're just trying to work this out. We're late today. We're in our last couple of issues. We're just trying to reach consensus. Let's just do it politely.
Rise to a point of order, Mr. Chairman.
Go ahead.
I don't think it's our place here to craft these code changes. Our place here is to consider the code change that has been submitted, and we're getting into sitting here writing this code change right now. I'm not in favor of doing
that. I don't want to lose what we did, if you're recognizing me. But I think we went into this. It's the dirty water over the clean water. If we're talking about completed pool, we're talking about the clean water. If you want to plaster the pool with dirty water, and we know the kid even. In fact, it's better to have some water in there, even if it's dirty, so he won't fall in and break his neck. So, but you're not, you got the dirty water, but before you ever clean that up, I don't know, do you just put chlorine in it and clean it up?
Or something? It's
you pump it out.
Yes, sir.
Well, then before you refill it again, after you're done, that's what we're talking about.
Right, as long as we know that the interior finish will not be completed during this process. Because once that interior finish is applied, we have to fill the pool. And that's the point. If incompleted means interior surface, we need to put in there completed up to interior surface. And that will, I think, make everybody happy here. You can still do your electrical inspections, and you still can do your barrier inspections prior to the interior surface, not having water in the pool. Yes, pools do have dirty water in it, but you're less likely to see a kid standing there with a towel diving into this dirty water than you will a clean water. And that's what we're trying to prevent.
Same thing, but go ahead and finish it.
Where do you want to apply it?
Right after, just put all swimming pool installations must be completed up to interior surface, and then everything else follows.
Jim, I'll give you a chance in just a minute.
You got two ways of dealing with this. You can add what he wants to add, or you can strike the first sentence altogether.
Yes.
First sentence is the problem. You strike the first sentence and leave the paragraph alone, you're fine.
Gary?
I agree, because you don't have anything in the plumbing code that says all the plumbing work must be done.
Yeah.
All the plumbing must be completed. That goes without saying. The pool is going to have to get done. Having done that, I think that was the correct thing to do. Get that first sentence out of there completely. Now, I just got a little bit of more wordsmithing I would offer for the little remaining one sentence, because we're only talking about one sentence now. How does this sound? Final electrical and safety barrier inspection shall be performed prior to filling the pool with water. Does that make it it's a positive rather than it shall not be before this?
I know. You're right. That's the right terminology.
That's correct.
So that's a committee member.
Is that a good idea?
Let me repeat this. And this is the only thing that's left, other than the exception stays. The exception is for the fiberglass pool.
Yes.
Other than that, it says final inspection, period. Final electrical and safety barrier inspections shall be performed prior to filling the pool with water.
Now, we were talking about filling the pool with water. Make sure you understand here.
Prior
that
to filling the pool with water.
I don't want the industry to run into a problem where, hey, we've got some dirty water in the bottom and we're calling that filling the pool. That's not filling the pool. Filling the pools is up to where it functions and where it's supposed to be. I agree with that.
We're too far into this.
And I think that solves the problem. The only reason I used the language I did is because that was already in the code and I was just trying to fill things in, but changing the way you did is better.
All right, now before we, are you okay with the wordsmithing right now? Before we, Jim, I didn't ignore you on purpose, Jim. Do you have input at this point?
That fixed what I was trying to say. I had a heartburn with that first sentence and it's gone.
Okay. Is there anybody unhappy here? Jennifer?
No, we're not. We're very happy and we appreciate your help. And we realize now we're learning as an association. We'll try to wordsmith this better ahead of time next time before your meeting.
The only reason I even let this go on like this is because it's very important for life safety.
We appreciate that.
I mean, this isn't normal. We don't normally...
Yeah, right. This isn't
normally a little chat.
we appreciate it. We really do.
I say one other thing. It's certainly within the purview of this tax to write that second.
Absolutely. So the question right now is, who on this TAC wants to author this suggestion?
Gary. He opened his mouth.
Gary Kozak.
I'll second it.
And we have a second. All right. Now, what we have here, gentlemen, ladies, is we have a modification, an amendment to the modification, and an amendment to the amendment. To the modification. Okay, we're needing. Is there any further discussion on this? Gentlemen, any further discussion? All right, we need to call the question. We are voting right now on item number 2718 as further modified. All those, that's our final mod, guys. All those in favor, please raise your hand. 11-0. And then we are calling 2718 as amended. All those in favor, raise your hand. And then we are calling on the mod 2718. All those in favor, please raise your hand. All right, 11-0 on all three counts. Okay. Number 2719, which was a companion.
It's mod. Jennifer Hatfield, Florida Swimming Pool Association. Again, we would recommend the same amendment that you just passed on the previous mod, 2718. Okay.
All right, Mr. Roberts, how do we handle this one at this point? All right. I need a second on that motion, for starters.
I'll second.
All right, we have a second. Any discussion? Can we move directly to the... All right, we need a motion for the modification, the first mod.
So moved.
And a second? All right. Now call the question. All right, now, all those in favor, it's late, guys. All those in favor of this question, as modified, raise your hand. All right. Now, we need to go to the as further modified.
Mm-hmm.
As modified.
No, we don't have to do
that. Oh, we just voted on the further modified.
Yes.
Does everybody understand what we've accomplished? Does our attorney understand what we did?
No.
Are we legal?
I suppose.
He's already sleeping. All right, 2719 and 2718 pass as modified. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you that this isn't over just yet. I mean, today we're over, we're done, but if you have issues... you'll have other opportunities to talk about some of these things. A comment from the audience.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Roy Lenoy. I've operated my business for about 31 years, and I've experienced a lot of different codes from the BOCA to the Southern Billing Congress to what we have today. And it's amazing to me how far we've come in being able to work as groups and agencies with industries to make things better for everybody involved. Mr. Greiner talked about our organization being somewhat asleep for the first couple of years, and I just want to make sure that everybody understands that even before he became a member of the Plumbing Tag, Mr. Gregory was kind of carrying the flag, screaming at everybody, wake up, things are happening, we need to be part of this. And a lot of the momentum and things that we got started going was as a result of his efforts, and I thank him greatly for that.
Thank you very much. Thank you all very much for coming. I think we had a very successful day. And I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair, before we do, I have a question. I thought this day was not just about modifications, but it was about integrating the 06I codes and the Florida codes into the 06I codes. We haven't talked about that. The staff has done that integration. It's been published on the website, and they did a pretty darn good job with a few important exceptions that I think that needs, at some point, whether it be this meeting or next meeting, it's important that we go over that, and perhaps even the gas and the whatever, to make sure that we are carrying things over that need to be carried over, we can delete things that don't need to be carried over anymore, and the language tracks from the plumbing to the residential.
Rick, did you want to say something?
Bruce is going to tell you about the county, but I have one other issue, yes.
Yeah, the main meeting, we'll have a meeting just on that exactly.
Oh, okay.
A TAC meeting.
Yes.
Clarification, Gary, the Florida-specific amendments, existing Florida-specific amendments, that were not addressed by change between the 2003 and 2006 codes automatically roll forward unless somebody puts in a proposal to eliminate it.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't touch those at this point unless somebody already submitted a proposal to eliminate that. Where we have the overlap, You will take a look at it, like Bruce said, in the May meeting. Mr. Chairman, also, I'm not sure if we've advised this committee, this we've done with some different committees, but your committee will meet again at the June Commission meeting to review comments on your recommendations, the ones that you developed today. Now, the only ones in the comments that you'll really review, though, are where you've made a modification or change to a proposal. And if someone comments on that, then you'll review their comment. Or if a proponent is addressing a weakness in their proposal, which was your reason for turning it down, that gives those people an opportunity to have another review by the PAC, and then your recommendations on those comments will go to the commission through the public comment process at this particular food development cycle. We're not giving people extra bites of the apple. You know, if there's something's been turned down and there's not a substantive comment trying to change the original language to address your reasons for turning it down, those will not be subject to a re-review.
Question, Rick. Will TAC be then voting on that comment and making, you know, what if that, let's say that it flips, let's say that the proponent does address something that the TAC found weak, and now the TAC feels better about it, is the TAC going to vote that way, and that will be transmitted to the commission the next
only
day?
Only as public comment on the original, but both move forward. Okay, this is the one that counts for 45 days, what's done today, so that has to go forward to the commission. But through the public comment process, the PAC can say, okay, they came back, they addressed our issue, and now we're in support of it.
Thank you.
Now, just for future 2010, for those of you who are still alive, right? In the 2010, the commission's voted to do the two-TAC review process, so it will be cleaned up. It won't be, you know, it'll just be one that goes back to the commission in the future. But this time around, we have to have those. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I want to thank the audience for very professional presentations today. I want to thank the TAC for their efforts in getting here and doing a very, very diligent job in solving these issues. And thank you all very much. I entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you.
3 o'clock, we got out. Every time. We have been to one of these sunsets.
I'm staying the night.
I'm going to be